Shop, the council asked staff to go back and look at the goals of Amendment 16 and do an analysis of whether, from the information we have from the first year of sector implementation, whether we were meeting those goals. So you can go through. So this is that. This is just a very sort of quick down and dirty analysis. Are we meeting the goals? Are we doing the things that we outlined that we said we wanted to do in Amendment 16? And just a very basic overview. I think everyone in here probably knows this already. Oh, go back up. Yeah. There we go. Amendment 16 was implemented in 2010, and Amendment 16 had two major parts to it. It expanded the sector management system, and it implemented annual catch limits and accountability measures that required large catch reductions. So what we're really looking at is the impacts of both of those two things, not just the sector system, but the way those two measures interact with each other. Amendment 16 did set goals and objectives in it. It's a very, very long document, so I think they're lost in there somewhere sometimes. But the goals were carried over from Amendment 13. There were 6 goals and 10 objectives to the amendment. So the question we're looking at is, have we met the goals so far? The first goal was consistent with the national standards and other required provisions of the Magnuson-Stevens Act and other applicable law to manage the Northeast multi-species complex at sustainable levels. And we did achieve this through the use of the annual catch limits and accountability measures as required by law, so we think this goal has been met. The next goal was to create a management system so that fleet capacity will be commensurate with resource status, so as to achieve goals of economic efficiency and biological conservation, and that encourages diversity within the fishery. We don't really have any recent studies available that show what the capacity of the Northeast multi-species fleet is. In the mid-2000s, there were a few studies performed by the Northeast Fisheries Science Center that showed there was overcapacity on a few stocks based on the target catch levels that were in place at the time. More analyses in the 2000s showed that capacity was actually under what it would be for a lot of major stocks based on the rebuilt levels of the stocks. So there weren't all that many studies that showed what the actual resource status was, what the stock size was, and bearing in mind the rebuilding plans, how the capacity of the fleet related to that. So that's an area that we could certainly look further into. Next goal was to maintain a directed commercial and recreational fishery for Northeast multi-species. We feel that we have achieved this. We had an allocation formula in Amendment 16 that allocated part of the annual catch limit to the recreational fleet and part of it to the commercial fleet. That allocation should ensure that both fleets retain their own catch level and they will both persist. And certainly in 2010, it didn't look like either fleet was in danger of disappearing completely. So we think this has been achieved. The fourth goal was to minimize, to the extent practicable, adverse effects on fishing communities and shoreside infrastructure. So when Amendment 16 was proposed and analyzed, the landings and revenues were expected to decline during the rebuilding programs for several stocks in the short term. Amendment 16 had measures to mitigate those losses. So bearing in mind that declines were going to occur, obviously that has happened. There's some evidence to show there are proportionally fewer active vessels in 2010. Whether those were the least or the most minimal possible adverse impacts, we don't have any direct analysis. Move on. The fifth goal was to provide reasonable and regulated access to the groundfish species covered in this plan to all members of the public of the United States for seafood consumption and recreational purposes during the stock rebuilding period without compromising the Amendment 13 objectives or timetable. If necessary, management measures could be modified in the future to ensure that the overall plan objectives are met. We feel this goal has been met. The access from the public to the resource hasn't decreased beyond what was necessary for rebuilding and hasn't decreased from previous levels for consumption. And the sixth and final goal was to promote stewardship within the fishery. Now, this fishery doesn't have any indicators for stewardship, and the plan, although it set promoting stewardship as a goal, didn't define what indicators would be used to define whether stewardship was increasing or what the baseline for stewardship was. There are indications that stewardship may have increased, including the fact that there were only 10 sector violations reported in 2010, which is a relatively low number, and that the ACLs were only exceeded on two stocks in 2010. So those would typically be things you might look at in stewardship, but whether attitudes of industry participants have changed toward the fishery, it's not something we really know because we don't really have any indicators for this. So moving on to the objectives. The first objective was to achieve, on a continuing basis, optimum yield for the U.S. fishing industry. So this one's a little bit confusing, maybe not as cut and dry as it first appears. Optimum yield is not the same as the ACL, so the question here is not just whether the ACLs have been caught for each stock. OY is actually achieved when the fishing mortality target is reached. And we would have to have very recent stock assessments to know whether this was happening since the implementation of sectors and Amendment 16 in 2010. For the stocks that we do have assessments on, the pollock and winter flounder stocks, we're actually at less than OY. We're fishing under the fishing mortality target. And Georges Bank yellowtail is uncertain. It was overfished in 2009. It may have been under capacity in 2010, but difficult to tell. So we would need more recent assessment on these stocks to be able to tell if that was if we had reached that goal. Second objective is to clarify the status determination criteria, which are biological reference points and control rules for groundfish stocks, so that they're consistent with the national standard guidelines and applicable law. This was specified in Amendment 16, the exact process for setting the status determination criteria, so we feel this goal has been met. The third was to adopt fishery management measures that constrain fishing mortality to levels that are compliant with the Sustainable Fisheries Act. Again, we feel this goal was met because the mortality levels are constrained to the ACL and reinforced by the accountability measures since Amendment 16. This is complicated by assessment uncertainty. So sometimes after the fact, we go back and look and aren't sure, but so far we do feel that we're meeting the goal. The fourth objective was to implement rebuilding schedules for overfished stocks and prevent overfishing. All overfished stocks are currently on rebuilding plans, so we feel this goal has been met. Fifth objective was to adopt measures as appropriate to support international transboundary management of resources. Amendment 13, remember this is a carryover objective from Amendment 13, which did adopt the U.S.-Canada understanding. And catch levels, our catch limits have been updated in frameworks every year that TMGC has negotiated the catch levels, so we feel this has been met. Number six, to promote research and improve the collection of information to better understand groundfish population dynamics, biology and ecology, and to improve assessment procedures in cooperation with the industry. This is largely not done by the Council, the Cooperative Research, but by the National Marine Fisheries Service. Recently, the industry has been more included in the assessments. For pollock and for Gulf of Maine cod, there were industry pre-assessment meetings where the industry could give input and also learn about the assessment process. Certainly, cooperative research is ongoing, so we feel, insofar as it's under the Council's purview to control this, that it is being met. Number seven, to the extent possible, maintain a diverse groundfish fishery, including different gear types, vessel sizes, geographic location, and levels of participation. Now, this objective has been brought up again in recent Groundfish Committee and Council meetings in discussions about Amendment 18, which the Council has formally initiated to explore issues of fleet diversity and potential accumulation limits or measures to enhance fleet diversity or to protect fleet diversity. Amendment 16 may have had differentiated impacts on different components of the fleet, as we saw in the presentation this morning. But further analysis of this is expected during the development of Amendment 18. So we feel we're on track to meet this goal. Number eight, to develop biological, economic, and social measures of success for the groundfish fishery and resource that ensure accountability in achieving fishery management objectives. We really haven't met this goal. There's the management plan hasn't adopted any performance indicators, and we haven't really talked about performance indicators except that they've come up here and there in conversations about Amendment 18, but we don't feel like we're necessarily making progress towards this one. Number nine, to adopt measures consistent with the habitat provisions of the Magnuson-Stevens Act, including identification of essential fish habitat and minimizing impacts on habitat to the extent practicable. There's an omnibus habitat amendment under development by the Council. And each FMP, each framework, and each amendment that we've adopted considers impacts to habitat and mitigating measures on habitat. So we do feel like we've met this goal. And the final objective is to identify and minimize bycatch, which includes regulatory discards to the extent practicable, and to the extent bycatch cannot be avoided to minimize the mortality of such bycatch. The sector system itself was designed to minimize bycatch by requiring all legal-sized fish to be landed. One of the main reasons for adopting the sector system was to minimize bycatch. And catch information for 2010 shows that discards have declined for many stocks. So I think we're making progress towards this goal. And finally, some brief conclusions. Overall, the majority of the goals have been met, we feel. There are several areas in which the goals could be clarified or in which additional information would be useful, especially the goals that relate to community and social impacts of Amendment 16. It would be useful, first of all, to identify the further fixes to the sector administration program that could mitigate these impacts. That's what this workshop is for, and hopefully we're on the road towards doing that starting now. And issues of fleet diversity would benefit from additional information and analysis. For example, an analysis of the ideal fleet capacity in light of diversity and the current resource status would be really useful. Goals should be clarified as to what types of diversity are desirable within the fleet, because it's very difficult to know what types of analysis to provide without knowing how the council defines diversity or what the council would be seeking with these goals. The development of biological, economic, and social performance indicators and a periodic review of progress towards those indicators would be useful, because that goal hasn't been worked on. And it would be useful to clarify the definition of stewardship and to develop associated performance indicators on whether stewardship of the resource is increasing. Finally, to determine if OI has been met for all stocks in the fishery, as stock assessments are updated, that should be done on an ongoing basis. And we recommend considering a long-term plan for achieving OI, recognizing the difficulty of achieving OI as is currently defined in a mixed stock fishery, and that it's difficult to catch the maximum allowable for every stock when you have other limiting stocks. That is a brief overview of where we're at with our goals, and I'll take questions.
Seems to me that, in fact, the metrics really exist to give us some measurements in those areas. I relate back to the goal number two, which talks about the capacity, which is commensurate with resource status to those achieving goals of economic efficiency and biological conservation. We have metrics in terms of biological, which are on the individual species basis, is overfishing occurring or not? Are they overfished or not? Are they on plan to be rebuilt during the time period that requires under the building plan? I think that's all there. We had gotten from the Science Center some of the economic and social aspects of this as well. So I think maybe we need to, as the council, actually formally adopt some of these indicators. But I think all of the indicators are there, and I think we actually discussed a lot of them so far today.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I only meant insofar as they weren't adopted formally in the FMP. Certainly there are measurements going on about progress in the fishery.
Madeline Paul Arbor, I'm an anthropologist, so I'm concerned with the social data more than anything. And one of the things I would like to encourage is a better integration of the economics and social data. Because I feel like a lot of the questions that were raised this morning, because there was a lack of quantitative data, could be answered if there was more qualitative data collected and combined with that quantitative, so you could have more interaction between the two sets of data, two kinds of data. And there are lots of performance measures that have been developed including by the Northeast Design Center, on both economic and social data. And I don't really know why those aren't being followed up on. So I think Rip is correct in saying that a lot of the data exists, but a lot of it's not being used. I also find it kind of interesting that objective number 8 is the one we're talking about here, and that's the same as national standard number 8, and which also is usually ignored in the development of fisheries management plans.
Paul Howard, Executive Director of the Council. I'd just like to inform the public that we have started a project to look at socioeconomic and biological and ecological metrics to develop a performance measurement system across all our FMPs, not just those we catch here. George LaPointe has been brought on board to do that. He's going to make a report at the Executive Committee on his work to date, and we're hoping to get all these metrics for measuring our FMPs and how they're meeting social, economic, ecological, and biological objectives on a web page that would be a dynamic system and kept up to date with landings and ACLs and bycatch and the measurement of those goals. Thank you.
Any more questions? Getting hungry. All right, if there's no more questions, we'll break for lunch. We've got an hour and a half, so we'll start again here at 1:15.